praise the Lord, everybody. It's good to be back in the house of the Lord. We have been studying on a series, Who Do You Say That I Am? And exploring and understanding the different names and the meanings of the names of God and how He has revealed Himself throughout the centuries. One of the things that I'd like to bring to you, if you recall, a few weeks ago I was teaching on the God of Covenant, and then when I spoke on the law of giving, not to be confused with the law of first things, but the law of giving, I shared with you that one of the ways that God blesses us in when we give is that He allows us to find favor with men. Yes. And Luke, the sixth chapter, says, "Give, and it shall be given to you. Pressed down, shaken together, shall men give to your bosom." In other words, you will find favor with men, and men will give back to you that which you have given. And I ask permission to give this testimony today on behalf of your pastor and his wife. A while back, they met a lady at one of the women in needs functions, and she needed something delivered to her house and had no way to get it there. And so consequently, your pastor and his wife volunteered to take this piece of equipment or furniture, whatever it was, I can't refer furniture, to her house, and they drove it over there and delivered it to her. And she was very, very gracious, very thankful. And the first thing she did was she went and bought them a really nice antique table as a gift for their act of service on her behalf. Far more expensive than the little bit of gasoline that they spent driving to her house. And then, just recently, this same lady and her husband has decided to move to Tennessee. And so they're clearing out their house and getting rid of some things that they feel like it would be too difficult to move to Tennessee. And so they call our pastor and his wife, and they donate well over $5,000 worth of things to them in the form of a Gen Air grill, $2,000 Gen Air grill, and big, beautiful potted plants and everything that are worth several hundred dollars a piece, and all the, I mean, and then not only that, she keeps calling them back and say, "I got more stuff to give you." So I tell you these things and I bring these things to your remembrance for two reasons. Number one, to help you build your faith and to recognize that the Word of God that has been written so many years ago is still real and alive. Amen. And active in our lives today. Praise the Lord. So when I teach on these things, one of the things that I really appreciate more than anything is when Robert Morris finishes each sermon of at the end of each sermon, he asks the audience to ask the question, "Holy Spirit, what are you trying to say to me today?" And so understand and know that we are attempting to impart to you the Word of God, not just so that you will be knowledgeable, but that you will come to understand and know God for who He is. Praise the Lord. And what the Holy Spirit has for you today might not be what the Holy Spirit has for somebody else. It depends on where you are in your life with your walk with God. Praise the Lord. So today we're going to be talking on Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. Let's go to Exodus, the sixth chapter, and the second and the third verses. And the Lord spake unto Moses and said unto him, I am the Lord, or I am Yahweh, or I am Jehovah. And I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and to Jacob by the name of God Almighty, but by my name Jehovah was I not known to them. Now, I've been teaching this series on who do you say that I am, and recognizing the different facets of God and the different operations of God in our lives as we as they are revealed to us each and every day as we live our lives. And understanding here that even Abraham was not privy to the name of Jehovah. How many has ever had a certain part of their lives that they have wanted to kind of put in a box and not reveal that part of their lives to somebody else? Okay? There's something about us that there are certain parts of our lives, there are certain things in our lives that we just don't want to reveal to somebody else. Well, God chose not to reveal himself as Jehovah to Abraham. And here we look at it. When we look at it in the context of the verse, he says, I am the Lord, Yahweh, Jehovah. I appeared unto Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as God Almighty, or El Shaddai. Okay? But by my name, Yahweh, or Jehovah, I was not known to them. God points out that he was known to Abraham as El Shaddai, or meaning the all-sufficient God. He had not revealed himself to Moses as Yahweh or Jehovah, as the eternal, unchanging, ever-faithful, covenant-keeping God. But here we see, as Moses is there in the land of Egypt, and God goes on to say in this verse of Scripture, this passage of Scripture, he says, I've heard the groanings of the children of Israel, and I have remembered my covenant. So here he's revealing himself as the covenant-keeping God to Moses, saying, I have remembered the covenant that I gave to Abraham, and I am wanting to act upon that covenant at this time. So God again appears in a very timely manner to reveal himself in the manner that he wants us to know him at that time in our lives. And so we see that he's revealing himself to Moses. I am the covenant-keeping God. I'm here, Moses, to keep that covenant that I gave to Abraham. And that's why I'm revealing to you myself to you today as Jehovah or Yahweh. Let's go to Genesis, the 22nd chapter, if we will. This is a long passage of Scripture that I'll be reading, but I want you to understand and bear with me, because this is the key to understanding Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. And it says here, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here am I. He said, Now take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of the young men with him and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went into the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off, And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go up yonder and worship and come to you again. This is, in the original, this is plural, and it says, we will come to you again. So understand that Abraham, in his act of faith, was already believing that he and Isaac would return. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spoke unto Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I, son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of him together. We go on and we understand that the angel stopped Abraham from killing Isaac, his son. And we look down into the 14th verse. And Abraham called that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. In the original it says, in the mount of the Lord he will provide. So we understand that Abraham had waited for 25 years for the promise that God had given him of a son. 25 years of a man who was no longer able to reproduce, whose wife was no longer able to reproduce, her womb was dead. And yet, Abraham believed God that he was able. And so finally, after 25 years of the promise, as I've said before, a promise delayed is not a promise denied. God gave to Abraham and Sarah Isaac, the son that he had promised. I want you to understand a couple of things about this. Here, Abraham, the same faith that Abraham used when he left his original home and set out on the journey that God sent him, and when God called him and said, leave the land of the Chaldeans and go to a land that I will show you. Here he set out not knowing which direction to go except to follow what God had told him to do. And he went out with faith, believing in God. This is the El Shaddai, the all-sufficient God. Abraham believing that whatever God said, he was able to do and provide. All he had to do was put his faith in him. I want you to understand today that when we are tried, when we are tested, all we have to do is put our faith in God. There is a reason for the test, and if we will just simply quit struggling about the test and try to see beyond the test and what God is saying to us or doing for us in that test, then we will learn to look at that test as a blessing instead of a struggle. Yes, praise the Lord. So Abraham did not waver in his integrity towards God. God had promised him a son, and he believed that God was able to keep that son. In fact, the Bible says that through his seed, Isaac, all the nations of the world would be blessed. And here God is telling him to take him and sacrifice him on an altar. Now I want you to understand that even before Abraham walked to that mountain to sacrifice his son, he had faith that God was going to be able to raise him up, not just from the dead, but out of the ashes that were going to be there because he was going to offer a burnt offering in which the sacrifice was totally consumed. I wonder today if we can learn to get that kind of faith in our lives. That it isn't doesn't matter what comes upon us, that God is able to raise us up out of the ashes and bless us in the way that he really wants to bless us. Praise the Lord. In fact, looking at the mindset of Abraham in Hebrews, the 11th chapter and the 17th through the 19th verse, by faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead. That is faith. We struggle with trials in our lives. We go through difficult times in our lives, but I want you to understand, looking at Corinthians, the 10th chapter and the 13th verse, and he hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able. Whatever trials you're going through, whatever struggles you're going through in your life at this time, doesn't matter. God is able to see you through all of it. He will not have you face that which you are unable to conquer. Praise the Lord. I want you to understand, it doesn't matter what kind of struggles you're going through. God is able. He is there to provide a way of escape for you if you will just learn to lean on him and rely up on him. Praise the Lord. Understand that Jehovah Jireh, in this context that we're using it today, the Lord will provide. A lot of people will take this scripture and minister to you and talk to you about provision, and we've already talked about in the God of Covenant, God wants you to have sufficiency in all things in your life. He wants to bless you. He wants to keep you. He wants to provide for you, and that is a God that I know and understand and have received those kind of blessings from him. But understand that in this context where where Abraham finds himself, we're not looking at Jehovah Jireh that will just provide provisions, but we're looking at a God that is going to provide a sacrifice. Yes. Praise the Lord. He is prepared. We have been born in sin and shapen in iniquity. Ever since the fall of Adam, God has trying to reconcile man to himself and bring forth a sacrifice so that we will not have to slay the lambs and the goats and the calves and everything each and every year. And here we see that in slide number two, if you'll go to slide number two, look at what Abraham says. In the mount of the Lord, it shall be provided. It was not just a provision, but there was a certain thing that Abraham was able to see. God revealed to him, this is a prophetic statement by Abraham. In fact, if we go to John, the 8th chapter, and the 56th verse, and I'm getting ahead of myself up there, I know that, but sorry about that. Jesus is talking to the disciples and everything, and he says, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Yes. Abraham received a vision on that mount. It was by faith, but I believe it was more than just faith. When Isaac said, where is the sacrifice? And Abraham said, the Lord will provide himself. A sacrifice. God was revealing himself to Abraham in a way that he had never revealed himself before. While Let's go to slide number 3. Abraham waited 25 years for the promise of his son. A son was given. But the world had waited 3,500 years from the promise that God gave Adam and Eve in the garden at the first promise of the Messiah, when he spoke to Satan and said that the woman's seed was going to bruise the head of Satan. 35 years had promised and a son was being given. The Bible says that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Look at the similarities between the act that God asked Abraham to perform with Isaac. He said, take your son, your only son, your beloved son, the son that you love, and sacrifice him. And God said, I will take my only son, the only begotten son of the Father, and I'm going to sacrifice him for the sin of all mankind. We look at slide number 4 up here. A substitute was found. As Abraham raised that knife to take Isaac's life, the angel of the Lord stopped him. I do believe that if the angel had not stopped him, that Abraham would have gone through with which that was requested by God. Do we have the strength in our lives today to continue walking in the paths that God set before us? We will be asked for sacrificial offerings from time to time in our lives. And sometimes it seems like that we really don't want to give it up. I've known people that have given up their homes, given up their livelihood and everything else to follow the calling of the Lord upon their lives. But I want you to understand that in all of these instances, God has always provided. When you are in tune with God, when you understand what God wants in your life and you're willing to say, not my will, but thine be done, that God can and will make provision for you in your life. So a substitute was found. Abraham, the angel of the Lord, stops Abraham from sacrificing Isaac, and Abraham looks up and sees a ram in the bushes, and God provides the sacrifice. Understand a couple of things. On Mount Moriah, where Abraham stood, just 700 meters away, 700 meters to the west of where he stood, he could look up and see Golgotha's hill. He could see Calvary. He could see the place on the Mount of the Lord. He will provide. It's a powerful, powerful thing. Just as the ram was a substitute for Isaac, Jesus became the substitute for the sacrifices for all of the sin of mankind. Slide number 5, a sacrifice was made. The mountain immediately became a place of covenant and a place of remembrance between God and Abraham. And Abraham called on the Lord there by one of the covenant names, Jehovah Jireh, the provider, exalted him for giving him a ram to sacrifice in the place of his precious son Isaac. The true significance of that ram is in the Old Testament prophecies. A ram was used to symbolize kings, and the horns were symbolized power or authority. And so it was a ram with horns that God had given to Abraham. We understand and know now that God was representing himself there as the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the God of all power, the Almighty God, the Everlasting Father. And God gave to Abraham an insight on what was to come. When we go through our trials, when we go through our troubles and our situations in life, understand and know that God has and will reveal something of himself to us while we're in the midst of that trial. We need to teach ourselves to look for those things. Well, Lord, what are you saying to me? What are you trying to teach me during this time? God does not just do something just by happenstance, but there is a purpose in our lives. Understand and know that he is a God that will continue to reveal himself in many, many ways. I was just listening to a little testimony this morning about a four-year-old that walked into his mother. She was expecting, but she had not revealed it to her family or anything yet. And this little four-year-old walked up to his mother and said, Mother, you're going to have a girl and you're going to call it Bella. And the interesting thing is that her and her husband had been talking about this and said, well, if we have a girl, we want to name her Isabella. This four-year-old, having no knowledge of anything, walks in there and says, Mother, you're going to have a baby and you're going to have a girl and you're going to call her Bella. And the father asked the son, said, how do you know this? And he said, well, God told me. God will speak to you. And the interesting thing is the father asked him, well, how does God talk to you? He said, well, sometimes God gets really loud. He said, but this time he spoke very, very quietly. Sometimes we have to just tune our ear towards God and hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Thank you very much. God bless you. I hope you enjoy this. Thank you.